Shlomo Halberstam starts his kina, Zichru Na. Please remember. Please remember. I don't know if I'm alone. Maybe I'm the only one. But as we head to Chatzos, and we turn the page to the Holocaust kina, it's almost as like, okay, Holocaust kina. This one I have a fighting shot at feeling. Titus and Beis Hamikdash and even burning Torahs. We don't live in a world like that. Mirtz Hashem, we won't live in a world like that. But the Holocaust, as Rabbi Steiner said, many of us still go on trips to Poland to see, to witness, experience a little bit what they went through. There still are survivors. It's something that we can almost relate to. So why does he start Zichru Na? In the strangest of twists of fate, I had this bus of going to Poland with Rabbi Isaacson, Rabbi Herschel, and leading other groups. Didn't grow up with the dream of wanting to be a Holocaust guide. Hashem's in charge of the world. And people ask, how do you do it over and over again? It's a strange place to be when you can walk into a Gehenna like Auschwitz and get a nod of recognition from some of the people that work there. But how do you go all the time? Don't we become numb? Don't we become desensitized? And there are two reasons why, for me personally, I don't. Number one has to do with the people on the trip. Every trip is different. The people are unique. The experiences, the backgrounds, what we're looking to get out of it. So I find fire and passion in that. And secondly, because in between trips, there's always more research, more reading, more experiencing, different stories that happen. If you are interested in doing such a study about the Holocaust, so it becomes abundantly clear very quickly that whatever we thought we knew, gas chambers, 6 million, ghettos, mass graves, these are 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 words that barely scratch the surface of what happened. And it's very rare, if ever, there's a time that I go into a camp without having a deeper understanding of what happened before. On one trip, a participant took off his shoes in the snow, Maidanek, and was walking around barefoot. So a staff member said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I want to feel what it was like for them to be in Maidanek." All we felt, or all he felt, or I would have felt, is cold feet. We can't understand what it was like to be in Maidanek. Because at some point, even though we're out of our homes now, at some point we're going to go home. We know that right now we can make a phone call. There is such a thing called a home. Last night we ate. Last night we slept in a bed. Last night, whether we chose to use it or not, there was air conditioning available. We have clothes. And we're sitting on the floor right now, but we know that we're getting up in a few minutes at Chatzos. And it is impossible for us to be able to understand what it meant to get thrown out of your home, to take one suitcase. Imagine how challenging it was for us to take one suitcase to cover for 6 weeks. Take one suitcase with your life. Not knowing where your mother and father are. Not knowing where your siblings are. And not knowing where your friends are. The unknown is scary. This was driven home to me. I have a friend, Denny Winkler, his father, a Holocaust survivor, came to speak at Yom HaShoah, just like I'm sure we've all been at. And he chose to talk about the cattle cars. And he said that in the cattle car, which was meant for animals to start with, if you want to use it for people, it should have, under normal circumstances, maybe held 40, was holding over 150. And it's heat like we're feeling this week in the summer, or the freezing cold in the winter, and you're in the car, and everybody's jammed together. I'm sure that I don't have to elaborate on an experiment of if you were asked to sit or to stand quietly in place. Could we even do a minute? Could we even do 5 minutes? We're not doing 10 minutes. But there are those that were standing there for days. The Greek Jews over a week. And to me, the eye-opener was, and they only had one pail. So when 150 people for a week had to go to the bathroom, they were going in one pail. You could use your imagination. The Rebbe really said, it's not rocket science. What's going on in that cart? For the people that were killed outside of Kashmir's Mustafi, burned to death by the reaction of wine and water. For those that were living under the shadow of being smacked over the head by a 2x4, multiple times an hour. Following orders that were changed, reversed. Wear a shirt, don't wear. Oh, you're wearing a shirt? Beat it. Not wearing a shirt? Beat it. And without a safe space to go at the end of the day. There is no such thing. In 2023, in 5783, there's no such thing as, now I could understand, or I could start to understand, or I could relate to. What happened? There's respect. I should pay attention. I owe a tribute. Yeah, we can say words like that, but understand what happened? There is no understand. So says Rav Halberstam, Zichruna, please remember. Please remember, not in the way that makes us feel like we've done our duty, I paid my service, I did my Yom HaShoah ceremony, but if we're not, please rethink. Rethink only by research. You can't learn today. So if we spend our time, of course we should rest if we need to rest, but we spend our time, these are accessible. Testimonies of Holocaust survivors. Testimonies on the Yad Vashem website, on the United States Holocaust website. Just to realize how much we don't know. About misos, mishunos, achzarios. Not just murder. Mishunos, achzarios. Cruel murder. Deviant murder. Systematic murder. But Rav of Atzama, as uncomfortable as we are after fasting for about 14 hours, we've seen the pictures of the survivors. We saw what they look like, walking skeletons. What that feels like, not just like, oh, look at that, that's gross. But what does a human being feel like when they look like something like that? B'karam Shema Yisrael, Masru Nafsham Adonai Adonim. There are things that we can link into and join Holocaust survivors. We said we rocked the heavens this week in Maris Machpelah with the Shema Yisrael. Adolf Eichmann recited Shema Yisrael at the Eichmann in an interview with Rabbi Eichmann Trials, you're saying Shema Yisrael, not one of those with broken Hebrew, Baruch, you know, not saying the words right. He said Shema Yisrael the way that any of us would say Shema Yisrael. And when the interviewer asked him, how do you know? He said, what do you mean? If you stand outside any place of murder, so this is what you heard all the time, and when you hear it thousands and thousands of times, you can say it the right way. Inuyim kashim, starvation, disease, loneliness, fear. Throughout the years 1939 to 1945, Rabbi Halberstam, who lost his entire family, I think, except for one son, rebuilt Bava dynasty. Al-Srifas Alfei Midrash shows how much Torah was lost. On the days that I struggled, being inspired, wanting to learn, understanding Torah, because it's on the heels of the amount of Torah that was lost during the Holocaust. Another Holocaust survivor died this morning. David Leitner, Gubi. Those who are involved in this kind of world. So he was somewhat of a hero, frequented the Knesset. There was a day in Israel named after him for his campaign that on January, I think, 16th, everybody eat a falafel. Lezecher, what he went through in the Holocaust. They are dying. But their legacy and the shoulders that we stand on, the seeds that they planted to come here to Eretz Yisrael. Habetna Hashemayim, Habetna Mishemayim, Chomei Bis Mikdashenu, Havienu Letzion Yerushalayim. Many of them made it here. And to raise the stat, they discovered a room. A woman was cleaning out garbage. She found a hidden door. They discovered a room. As they went in, it was clear that it was a secret shul in the Theresienstadt concentration camp that used to daven in. And one of the most powerful scenes that I've ever had in my life, written on the wall in a concentration camp. Through all this, Shimcha lo shachachnu Hashem, we haven't forgotten you, na'al tishkafinu, don't forget us. Standing here in Beit Meir, it's Hashem, we have not forgotten you, and Hashem not forgetting us. So many of the Rabbanim so beautiful spoke about. This is Team Eternity. Every generation, there's a move to destroy us. But the more that they slash and the more that they cut, the stronger we grow back. Babav, they wiped out almost the entire dynasty and he rebuilt. That made me a year. A place that was desolate just decades ago when we first came here in the Kolel. So Zichruna, please remember. Please remember not superficially. Please remember not just token, not just lip service. But let's dedicate ourselves to doing real research, to really understanding the commitment that Holocaust survivors had, as Bobby Newman said, when they asked her, how could it be that you went through Auschwitz? How could it be that you went through Auschwitz and you still believed in God? She said, how could it be that I went through Auschwitz and not believe in God? Because I know that he was standing next to me, holding my hand every second of the day, because otherwise there's no way I would have survived. We should never experience, the world should never experience, nobody should experience something like the Holocaust. But on this specifically, the one that we think that we could relate to, let's make a commitment to deepening our understanding of the low points of the Tasting Meat Mitzrayim, the high points of Shuvi Yerushalayim, to be mindful and to be real. And through this, we can be zochet to Rabbi Yehuda Tzion Yerushalayim.